Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Is it still true that Middle America, I'm talking about educationally, economically, that Middle America is still valuing traditional marriage? Is that still true? All of us assume that it is. Joining us to answer that question for the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc., Dr. Brad Wilcox. He's Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Virginia. He's Director of the National Marriage Project, and he's co-author of a new report titled State of Our Unions 2010, When Marriage Disappears. Dr. Wilcox, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's good to be here.
In the popular media, those who are advocates for marriage, especially public advocates of marriage, are often depicted as not the brightest lights, not the brightest bulbs. Do the findings of your report bear that out?
Todd, no, they don't. What they suggest is that college-educated Americans are the Americans now who are most likely to actually live a strong marriage ethic. They're the most likely actually now to get and stay married, to have their kids in wedlock, and to enjoy high-quality marriages. So when it comes to practice, they're doing pretty well. Now, on the values front, it's not always the same story, but on the practice, there's clearly a link between being highly educated and living basically a married way of life.
The term used in the report, marriage mindset, what does that encompass, Dr. Wilcox?
Well, it encompasses things like being opposed to easy divorce, believing the best place to have a child is in marriage, and also recognizing that marriage is not completely about good feelings, that marriage is also about sharing a life together, raising children together, helping one another out when times get tough. And what I'm finding is in some important ways that highly educated Americans are more likely to be sort of shifting now towards a marriage mindset, whereas unfortunately Americans who have just a high school degree, people I call middle Americans, are moving away from that marriage mindset. And that's of great concern to me.
Go into that a little bit deeper, if you would. The less educated, what are we discovering in particular about their marriage practices or lack thereof?
Well, you know, for probably about the last 40 years, Todd, we've seen that divorce and non-marital childbearing have been on the rise among the poor and among African Americans. What's really, I think, disturbing in our new report is that this retreat from marriage is moving up the social ladder into the heart of the American middle class. That is, Americans who've got a high school degree but not a college degree, and they make up more than a majority of American adults. So we're seeing some of these same patterns now in terms of divorce and even non-marital childbearing being much more common in this middle American group, this high school educated group. And, you know, that's one of the big concerns that comes out in this report.
So we have we've had other guests on the program who have observed that it is very often, and I don't know if you could speak to this, but it's very often the very cultural elites, if you will, who often push for kind of a marriage-free society or a lack of a need for marriage, who ironically practice marriage themselves, but the effects of their agenda are often most damaging to the least educated and the least well-off in our society.
Yeah, and that's probably the story here, particularly I think back in the 70s and 80s and even early 90s, where many well-educated Americans were more likely to espouse a kind of progressive or liberal view on marriage, but live a fairly conventional lifestyle themselves. I think in some ways one glimmer of hope here is we're seeing that they're becoming, that is the college-educated group, is becoming more averse or more opposed to the easy divorce. And so I'm hoping that that might translate into a willingness to speak up on behalf of marriage, whether it's in the courtroom or in the press room or the classroom on the part of this highly educated set. And, of course, if that happens, then I think we could actually see a turnaround on the marriage issue. So the challenge, I think, for us as a country is to get our educated Americans to realize that they need to extend, if you will, the marriage franchise from their subset to the larger population as a whole.
What, in your mind is the relationship between the so-called American dream. That is, this idea of general prosperity and kind of an increasing standard of living for each successive generation. What do you think the impact, the findings of your report would indicate kind of the immediate results with regard to the American dream for many Americans?
Well, Tom, you know, more Americans are concerned that they're not going to make the American dream, that their kids aren't going to realize the American dream. And I think that they have a reason for concern. And one, of course, source of this is that, you know, middle American families are breaking down. People are cohabiting, having kids outside of marriage, getting divorced, et cetera. And when they do all that stuff, it's much harder as adults to accumulate assets, to buy a home together, of course, and to do well in your job because you're dealing with a lot of baby mama drama on the side. But more importantly, when you don't follow the marriage mindset, your kids are much more likely to fail in school, to drop out of high school, not to go to college, and even not to be stably employed as young adults. So you sort of set them off on the wrong path, on the path that's going to lead to them not having a shot at all at the American dream. So the point I'm making in the report is that if we want to shore up the American dream, we also need to shore up the American family.
Can you speculate as to any causal relationship, if there is one, between better education and a stronger adherence to the marriage mindset?
You know, I think one of the stories here is that better educated Americans, especially men, have access to better and more stable jobs, which is, of course, an important ingredient to a good marriage, having a decent income, especially for the husband. Another thing is that they're more likely to have a sort of an ethic of looking to the long term, of being, you know, oriented towards delayed gratification. And so they're able to do things both in their relationships and at the workplace and school that enable them to succeed in life in general, but also in their marriages in particular. So I think part of the story here. But just the other big thing that's surprising about this report is we're seeing in some important respects when it comes to the marriage mindset, when it comes actually to church going, that highly educated Americans are becoming or are more conventional than this middle American group. And that's an historic reversal because the middle American group used to be the repository both of church going and of this marriage mindset.
So talk more about that. It sounds like you're saying that there now is a stronger correlation between higher education and church attendance.
So back in the 1970s, people who are high school educated attended church more than any other group in the country, whereas today those who are college educated are more likely to attend church. Now, one reason that's the case is that more evangelicals have gone on to get a college degree, and so they're kind of moving up into that college-educated group. But I think it's also a testament to how poorly churches are doing in reaching out to more working-class men and women in their communities, and that, you know, folks in the church need to do a better job of thinking about how they can reach out, not just to the educated and the affluent, but people who are both working-class and poor.
So how would you describe the connection between church attendance and the marriage mindset?
Well, certainly one of the better predictors of having an appreciation for marital permanency, for having kids in marriage, and all those important goods is being embedded in a religious community that teaches, that preaches, and that lives a strong marriage ethic. So that's the connection, basically.
Do you have any concerns regarding the very uneducated, perhaps the very poor, that we have succeeded in inadvertently creating a permanent underclass, not only with regard to those sociological factors, but in fact, with regard to marriage, effectively eliminating marriage as an institution among the underclass?
We're already there, basically. I mean, it's the majority of high school dropouts have kids outside of marriage. More than 70% of African Americans have their kids outside of marriage. So we're already at that point. And now we're kind of poised on a knife edge where the middle class is potentially following suit here. And if that happens, it's going to be a disaster for them and for the country as a whole.
What would be your biggest concern in that respect, if in fact the middle class also effectively eliminates marriage as the boilerplate institution, the foundational institution?
Yeah, there are 2 points here. One is that millions of kids are going to suffer lots of instability. They're going to suffer more abuse at the hands of, you know, unrelated adults are moving through their homes without any kind of regularity or stability. So that's one big concern. And then for the country as a whole, I think you have to recognize that we're moving towards a Latin American old-style model where you have this elite who is powerful, privileged, and married, and everyone else is not powerful, is not privileged, and is not staying in a stable long-term marriage. And what that means, though, is that the sort of the middle and the lower classes in our country will, I think, be more subject to kind of demagogic appeals, you know, sort of the strongman theory of politics, where it's when the middle class is not strong and is not stable, that they're more likely to succumb to a kind of authoritarian personality. And that's a concern I have also about this pattern.
And then with only 30 seconds, you mentioned a few minutes ago the kind of one glimmer of hope that you see and that comes out in your report. What was that again?
Well, the glimmer of hope is that marriage actually is getting stronger among college-educated Americans, and their attitudes are, at least on the divorce front, tracking in a better direction. So I think the challenge for us as a country is to encourage and to challenge well-educated Americans to share their appreciation for marriage with the institutions that they work at, and the communities that they live in, and the country as a whole more generally.
Folks, you can find out more about State of Our Unions 2010, When Marriage Disappears, under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Brad Wilcox is Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Virginia and Director of the National Marriage Project. Thank you for your time, Dr. Wilcox.
Thanks, Dr. Brad.
When we come back live this Thursday afternoon, it's the 9th of December, we're going to be reviewing a book. Normally, you don't expect novels from liberal Bible scholars. I mean, liberal theology is boring as it is, but Marcus Borg of the Jesus Seminar, you remember them, a group of liberal Bible scholars who, through a kind of peculiar voting process, pared down the New Testament to a handful of verses that they, in their wisdom, considered truly authentic and discarded the rest, or at least threw into deep doubt the rest. Marcus Borg has written a novel. It's called Putting Away Childish Things. It has as its lead character a liberal Bible scholar. We'll see what Dr. Craig Hazen of Biola University makes of Marcus Borg's new novel, Putting Away Childish Things, after this.
Are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want, Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An update on 40 Days for Life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The director of the pro-life campaign, 40 Days for Life, recently reported the ministry has helped save 3,000 babies in the last 3 years. Started in 2007, the campaign consists of pro-life activists praying, fasting, and holding peaceful prayer vigils outside of abortion clinics for 40 days. There have been two events each year since 2008. Sean Carney, the campaign director for 40 Days for Life, explained that hundreds of women have revealed that they decided against abortion when they encountered the praying volunteers outside of the abortion clinic.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.